our little town and obviously where I came from, gamble more. That works well if you live in Vegas. But and then you've got the bad twin names. You've got people who actually have named their twins this. You have one set of twins that was named Sonny and Cher. You got another one that was named Thelma and Louise. Big and Bigger. And then I kid you not, this is what somebody actually named their child. This one and that one. You know, the naming thing can be a big deal. It'd be hard. So you got to be really careful about how you name your children. But this series, we're going to be looking at the names of Jesus. And, you know, we've got these great banners that our ladies in the past made. And we want to honor them. We want to put them up, you know, this time of year. And obviously, it fits right in with what we're talking about this whole series. Today, we're talking about the name that Jesus had. It was called the Wonderful Counselor. He's called the Wonderful Counselor. And these names were given to him 700 years before he was born. You know, we have a hard time 9 months. 9 months saying, okay, we're going to have this child in 9 months. We have a hard time naming them then. But 700 years before Jesus was born, he was given these names. And there was a lot of turmoil, a lot of fear that was going on during this time when Isaiah penned these words. And this verse that we're talking about, Isaiah 9:6, is often used during the Christmas season. It's one of the most favorite verses that we have during the Christmas season. So let's read this. If you don't have your Bibles, it's on the screen behind me. Hopefully you do have your Bibles. You can turn there and you already have it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." He will be called Wonderful Father. I mean, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's what he's going to be called. And these words, this Wonderful Counselor that we're going to be talking about today, Wonderful Counselor, comes from the Hebrew words, two words, Pele Yoatz. Now, Pele, you're thinking, okay, is this soccer? No, it's not the good soccer player. That's not who this is. But Pele means beyond understanding, too wonderful for words. When we say that Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor, it's beyond what we can say what he is. More than that, we don't have enough words to describe him. And Yoatz, it means to advise or to consult or to guide is what that means. And basically, Isaiah was saying that one day a son is going to be born, and one day he's going to be this Pele Yoatz. He's going to be this beyond understanding, too much for words, counselor that can guide and advise us and we can consult with. We're going to have God in the flesh that's walking on this earth with us. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He knows you and he cares for you. He understands exactly what you're going through. He understands exactly what's happening in your life. Therefore, he can be your Wonderful Counselor. Isn't that an amazing thought? We have an amazing, wonderful Counselor in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16 says, "For we don't have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time." You see, Jesus, our high priest, our wonderful counselor, has been through everything that you've ever been through or ever will go through. He's already been through it. He's already been through it, but yet he was tempted, but he had no sin in his life. He never had that. He understands our pain. He understands the hurts that we have. And this is exactly why we can come to him and approach him in confidence. Because he's not some God that's out there removed from us that's never been through any of these things. He's been through it. We know what it is. And he can help us in our time of need. And that's what Jesus came for. He came for our time of need. He came for the sick. He came for the hurting. He came for the poor in heart. The story of the call of Matthew explains this so much, and it speaks volumes of that, and I've preached on this before, and I've talked about it before, but the tax collectors, they were the lowest of the low. You had sinners, and then you had tax collectors. You know, they were even separated from the sinners. They were the lowest of the low. And yet Jesus walked up to that tax collector table that one day, and he said, Matthew, I want you to follow me. I don't care what everybody else thinks about you. I want you to follow me. I came for you. And there they were, Jesus with the lowest of the low. Matthew was so excited, he went and said, hey, let's go throw a party at my house. So they go down, and Jesus walks into the house, and they're having this party. And the Pharisees are outside looking in, saying, I cannot believe that Jesus is in there with him. They're so corrupt. Nobody wants to be around them. Nobody ever grows up saying, hey, one of these days I want to be a tax collector. But Jesus came to be with them, and he hung out with them. And the religious people were offended by this. And Jesus said, during that story, he said, I would rather hang out with them than with you, the Pharisees. Luke chapter 5, verse 31 says, Jesus replied to them, the healthy don't need a doctor, but the sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I've come for the ones who are sick, for the ones who are hurting. I didn't come for the righteous people. I came for the sick. Where are you sick? Where do you hurt right now? What's going on in your life that Jesus needs to heal? You see, because we are all sick at one point or another. We're all hurting at one point or another. We all battle with weaknesses. We all battle with these vulnerabilities. We all battle with strongholds, dysfunctions within ourselves, within our families. We deal with all these things. Some of you guys, I know you well enough that I can see it in you. I know where you're sick. I know where you're hurting. I know where you need Jesus' help. I know where you need to have the wonderful counselor come in and step into your life. For some of you, I can see it. For some of you, if I sat down with you and began to press you on this, you wouldn't like it too much. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm good. There's nothing wrong. Some of you, you can't hide behind it at all because it's right there. It shows. And you can see it. But yet we try to mask it. We try to pretend it's not there. We try to put it aside and put it back away. And we put this face on when we come to church, the place where we should be open and vulnerable, because this is the family that loves you more than anything. Supposed to. But yet we hide it. And we hide behind it. And we don't let anybody in to see it. We pretend it's not there. Where are you sick? A lot of times this time of year, in the holidays, I love the holidays. My favorite time of year, Thanksgiving to Christmas. I love this time of year. But yet this is the time when many people become to be more depressed than any other time of the year. We wonder how we're just even going to get through the day. You start thinking about all the things that need to be done, and you think about how this is supposed to be the joyous time of year, but yet because of circumstances in your life, maybe because of things that you've lost or maybe because of things that you don't have. You want to provide for your family. You want to give presents and gifts. And that's what we think about because we've turned Christmas season into that. We have these thoughts going through our life. We think, I'm not going to be able to do this. There's this heaviness, this weight on you. There's worrying, wondering about what's going to happen. And you begin stressed all the time. And you think, I'm never going to get it done. For many of us right now in this economy, it's a financial stress. I've got all these bills to pay, but yet Christmas is right around the corner. How am I going to make ends meet? For some of us, it's a lonely stress. You see other families and think, well, why can't I have that? Why do they get to have a complete family and I don't? For some, it's a stress over sicknesses, where there's been family sicknesses and where you just dread the holidays, bringing all that back up, and you don't even want to be around people. For some people, there's dysfunction within families, that people have had strained relationships, And you don't even want to be around those people. For some of us, we've lost loved ones. It's a time of memory of having to go through all that. We're all sick at different points of our life. And so we have to answer the question, where are we sick? And then we got to remember, there is a wonderful counselor. For all the things that we go through in our life, there is a wonderful counselor, and his name is Jesus. And he came for those who are sick. So how do we find this healing? How do we find the healing from this wonderful counselor that we have? How do we find it? Well, if you're taking notes, you can jot this down somewhere. You might want to keep up with this if you realize that this is where you are. Number one, the first way you find healing with a wonderful counselor is you got to be brutally honest with the counselor. You got to be brutally honest with the counselor when you go talk to him, because so many of us aren't. There's a great story in John chapter 4, a very familiar story of Scripture. John chapter 4 is there's a woman that's like many of us. She wanted to be loved. She wanted to be accepted. She wanted people to like her for who she was. And she searched for this in many different places. She thought, if I just find the right man, if I just find the right man, the right person, my life would have meaning. And she picked out some bad guys and some bad choices, and it didn't work out. And she was living with this guy when Jesus comes on scene. And Jesus asked her a question. And she could have told the truth. She could have told him exactly what was going on in her life. Or she could have lied about it. Either way. She could have lied and said, everything's fine. Everything's good. And Jesus asked her, he says, where's your husband at? Where's your husband at? And she could have said, listen, he's not available. He's off at a business conference. He's off working right now. He can't come around. But she chose to tell the wonderful counselor the truth. And in chapter 4, verse 17, she said, I don't have a husband. Jesus replied back. He said, you've said correctly. For you've had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. And he told her that the one thing that you're looking for, you've been coming out to this well looking for water. Well, I tell you, I can give you living water. I can give you something that you've been searching for your entire life. The one thing that you're trying to find, I can give you. It's standing right before you. And he revealed to her who he was and who he should be in her life. Some of us in this room, we got to be totally honest with ourselves today. Some of us in this room may be looking at Jesus right now and saying, I'm not really sure who you say you are. There may be people in this room right now that be thinking about Jesus, and you look at Jesus and say, well, Jesus, I believe that you were a good teacher. Jesus, I believe that you are who you are. I get that, but I'm just not real sure. You may be thinking, Jesus, where are you? I have been praying and praying and praying and looking, and I'm trying to find this one thing, and I can't find you. Some of us need to be really, really honest about our marriages in this room. Because some of us, if we don't do something soon, it's going to be over. We're praying this to God right now. Some of us need to come clean about some of our habits, some of the hang-ups that we have in our life. Some of us need to be brutally honest about the relationships that we have with other people. It's because of this that you can't trust anybody. We have to be brutally honest with the wonderful counselor. We have to, if we want to find healing from him. You got to be honest. We have to cast our cares upon him. Psalm 55, 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will support you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. In other words, He's not going to let you down. He's not going to let you fail. But we have to be honest with the wonderful counselor and say, Jesus, this is where I'm sick, and I need your help. We can't play around with Him. We got to be honest and open. Second thing you got to do is you need to listen to the counselor's voice. Listen to the counselor's voice. You got to listen to what he says. Mark chapter 9, he took three of his disciples up to the top of a mountain, and he transfigured himself. God transfigured him into his glorified state. And as soon as that happened, you know, they fell down. Peter, James, and John, they fell down at Jesus' feet as he was transfigured there. And Moses and Elijah showed up in a glorified state, and they were just amazed. They were blown away. And their reaction to this was, Jesus, we want to build a temple here. We want to build altars here. We want this to be a place of worship from now on. And Jesus said, not so fast, my friend. You know, you need to wait a minute. Not yet. Mark chapter 9, verse 7, he said, a cloud appeared overshadowing them, and a voice came from the cloud. This was God speaking to them. This is my beloved Son. What? What does it say? Listen to Him. Don't bow down and worship. Don't do all these things. You need to listen to what He says. Listen to what He says to you. So how does God speak to us? How does Jesus, the wonderful counselor, speak to us? He speaks to us in different ways, many different ways. He speaks to us through this word right here. When you open up this scripture and you begin to read through that, He will speak to you through that scripture. He speaks to you through me, through what I stand up here and I speak to you. When I preach to you, God speaks. That's why I take this so extremely important. This is I don't take this very lightly when I stand and I speak and I preach to you guys, because it's important, because God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. He speaks to you through somebody maybe sitting right next to you right now, to people that you know, your friends, your family, maybe believers in Christ that are around you. God speaks to you through them. Maybe He speaks to you through listening to a song. As you're going down the road, listening to a radio station, a Christian radio station. Or maybe sitting at work, at your office, and you've got a radio station, Christian radio station, put on your computer. He can speak to you through that. He can speak to you through a daily devotion. When you get up in the morning and you read your scripture, your verses, and you pray, God can speak to you through that. God can speak to you through circumstances of your life. Things that happen on a daily basis. But if you train yourself to listen, if you train yourself to hear the voice, you will hear what He says to you. The problem is for most of us when we say, well, I just don't hear what God's telling me, it's because you're not listening. It's because all the other noise in your life has got it tuned out. You're thinking about other things and not thinking about the voice of God. You know, when I've got a room full of kids and my children are in there with them, there can be 15, 20 kids in there running around. And if one of mine start crying, I know it's them. Y'all know that? I can pick them out every time. Those parents out here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can pick your child's voice out of a room of 20, 50 kids because you've been trained to know them. You've been trained to hear them. And you can not even be looking and know it's them. Can you recognize the voice of the wonderful counselor this morning? You can if you learn to listen to Him. John 20:10-27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. His sheep know His voice, and they listen, and they follow. Are you being brutally honest with the wonderful counselor? Are you listening to His voice when He speaks? Are you following what He says? And that's the last one. When you hear what He tells you to do, and the last thing is you need to do what the counselor tells you to do. And this is one of those no ifs, ands, buts about it kind of things. When He tells you to do something, you have to do it. Even if you don't feel like it. Wow, man, I don't know. You know, I wanted Jesus to tell me something. I want Him to help me out here, but this is not what I wanted Him to say. It doesn't matter. You got to do it. He's going to make you do things that you may not like to. It may not make sense to your natural mind. Because He is your shepherd. Because He is your guide. Because He is the wonderful counselor. We do it. Whatever it is. There's a story in Scripture about a guy who didn't. And it cost him dearly. In Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. It was the story of a rich man. And he came to Jesus. He was very moral, but he was a very materialistic guy. And because of that, it hurt him. You know, if today we were talking about this guy in today's term, well, this guy would be driving the nicest cars. He would be having the nicest house, living in the nicest part of the city. He would be wearing the nicest clothes that he could buy. He would have the latest and greatest gadgets and all these things. And all this stuff would be going on. This is what he would have. And the materialistic guy. But he wouldn't fully surrender to Jesus because all of those things were way too important than anything else. So he wouldn't surrender. Mark chapter 10, verse 20 and 21. He said to him, he comes up to say, Jesus, you know, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, Teacher. He told him what he had to do. He says, Teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth. Yeah, I've done good. I haven't stolen. I haven't lied. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I've done all these things. I'm a good moral person, Jesus. Then looking at him, Jesus loved him. I'm going to pause right there for a second. Jesus loved him. Now, Jesus knew what this guy's sickness was. He knew where he needed the wonderful counselor in his life. He didn't come to him and say, listen, you need to sell all your stuff and do all this and do all these things. And because you got a love for money, because you got a love for materialism, you're going to burn, you know, and go to hell for eternity. You're never going to turn around. He didn't say all this. He didn't preach to him. He didn't look down upon him. He didn't tell him hard things. He looked at him and he loved him. He loved him. He didn't say, you're a bum. Even though he saw his sickness, he loved him. But then he did tell him something he didn't want to hear. Something he didn't want to hear. Because he loves you, he may tell you something you don't want to hear. Because he loves you, he may tell you to do something that's really, really hard in your life that you don't want to do. He may tell you that this person that you're dating right now is not good for you and you need to break up with them. You need to get away from them. He may tell you for a family that's struggling financially, he said, that you need to downsize. You need to get a smaller car. You need to get a smaller house. He may tell you for a person who is addicted to things that you need to come clean. You need to be transparent. You need to get some help with somebody else. You need to find somebody to be accountable with and come clean with your problems. Things that we don't want to hear sometimes. This is what he told him, verse 21b. He said, Jesus loved him and he said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Now let that sink in for just a second. That's basically Jesus coming to you right now and saying, I want you to sell your cars. I want you to sell your house. I want you to sell your TVs. I want you to sell your clothes. I want you to sell your jewelry. I want you to sell your guns. No, not my guns. Oh. I want you to sell everything you got and follow me. Sell it all. It's pretty dramatic, isn't it? How many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you would be willing to sell everything you had to follow Christ? Lottie Moon did. Verse 22. But he was stunned at this demand. And he went away grieving because he had many possessions. He was unwilling to do what the wonderful counselor asked him to do. He was unwilling to obey what the shepherd told him to do. Now, I want you guys to understand this. If we do part of this, but not all of it, then basically what we're living is a joke. It's a lie. We can be brutally honest with the wonderful counselor. It's all great. He already knows what your sickness is anyway. It's just a matter of you coming clean with him about it. That's great. We can listen to him and hear what he tells us to do. That's all fine. It's great to hear a word from God. It's great to come into this place on a Sunday morning and get goosebumps all on your arms and on the back of your neck. And when God kind of speaks to you and you hear it and you listen to it, it's great. But if you don't act and do, then it's just a joke. We're going to continue to live lives that are unfulfilled. We're going to continue to live lives that will never be victorious. And it absolutely breaks the heart of God when we do this. When he speaks, we do what he tells us to do. For many of us, that's the reason why we have a lack of faith. It's because we're unwilling to do exactly what Jesus is telling us to do. We have to let Jesus do what he wants to do in our lives. We have to open ourselves up to that. And it's great to get good earthly advice. But to understand the wonderful counselor, we have to do healing and let him do healing in our own life. He's the Son of God. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the everlasting Father. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. That's what he is. That's what he wants to be in your life. The counselor that is so great that there aren't any words to describe him. You've got to be honest with him. You've got to listen to what he tells you. And then more importantly, you've got to do. And that's honestly where most of us fail. We don't do. So where are you sick, church? Where are you hurting? What's going on in your life right now that you need the wonderful counselor to come in and step into your life? A room with this many people in it, I promise you, God is speaking to you. God is speaking to somebody in here, and he is telling you to do something. Are you going to do it? Are you going to move? Are you going to act? Are you going to follow the advice of your wonderful counselor? Let's pray. Father, Father, I am so thankful that we do have a wonderful counselor. Father, I am thankful that we have a high priest that is not aware of what's going on in our lives. God, that we have somebody that can be right there with us, that understands what we're going through, the hurts and the pains, the habits, the hang-ups, that has all these things that we deal with. God, He understands those. Father, I pray for this time right now. Lord, that as the word has been preached, as it has gone out from this place, God, that we can be moved. God, we know that You're speaking to us right now. Father, I pray that You give us the courage, the resolve to do what You tell us to do. Whether that may be breaking up with that person, whether it's coming clean with about an addiction or a problem that we may have, about finding somebody, an accountability partner to help us with this. Father, if it's maybe getting a relationship that's wrong right, God, that You will give us the courage to stand up and do that. Father, I pray for anybody in this room that may be in that spot of saying, I don't know if Jesus, if who You say You are. God, You reveal Yourself to them. Reveal Yourself to them as the wonderful counselor, the one that wants to heal. Father, You sent Him for the sick. Lord, I pray that You will heal the sick this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in just a moment, our team is going to lead us in our commitment song. However God has spoken to you, this is the time. When I said, well, you need to do what God tells you to do, this is it. If that means you need to come down front and pray, then you come down in front and pray. If you need to have that physical act of saying, okay, I'm submitting myself to God here in this place, whatever God spoke to you about, you need to do it right. If you're not a believer in Christ, if you've never given your life to Christ, if you never come to the place where you say, Jesus is that wonderful counselor, He died on the cross for you. He died so that you would not have to die. He came for you. And this is the time of year when we celebrate His birth. You see, the Bible says there's a price that has to be paid for sin, for the things that we do wrong, for the things that we have against God, for we disobey. Jesus paid that price. I want to talk to you more about that. If you've never given your life to Him, I want to talk to you about that. However God has spoken to you this morning, now's the time you do business with Him. Let's stand as our team leads us this morning. Our ushers will go ahead and make their way down front. We'll go ahead and take up our offering at this time. Also, don't forget the Lottie Moon envelopes that are in the pew in front of you. If you want to go ahead and give that today, you can, if you're prepared to do that. Otherwise, we'll be taking that up through the rest of December. If you're a guest with us this morning, again, the only thing that we ask for is that communication card. We'd love to have one of those from you, just to have a record of who's been here. If you have any prayer requests or praises, those go in on the Wednesday night prayer bulletin. So if you want something that you want the church to be praying for, you can put that on there as well. So don't forget about that. Let me pray for us as we take up our offering this morning. Father, God, we just pray for this time, that it is a time of worship, of how we give back to you a little bit of what you've given to us. And Father, we know that this is a blessing. God, everything that we have is a blessing from you, the tangibles, the intangibles that we have. Father, I just pray that you would bless the giver this morning. And Father, that we would be good stewards of what you have given us. Father, we pray for our Lottie Moon offering again. God, God, that we can go above and beyond what we have kind of set as a goal in this place. Father, I pray that you stretch us during this time. Convict us of what you want us to give and bring for international missions. God, let us be a blessing to our missionaries around the world. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Everybody likes to take a holiday. Everybody likes to take a rest. Spending time together with the family. Sharing lots of love and happiness. Come on, ring those bells like a Christmas tree. Jesus is a king, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody sing. Jesus, we remember this, your birthday. We love to recall. Mary had a baby boy in Bethlehem, the greatest celebration of them all. Come on, ring those bells like the Christmas tree. Jesus is our King, born for you and me. Come on, ring those bells, everybody sing. Jesus, we remember this, your birthday.
Thank you guys. Very good. A couple quick announcements before we leave. One thing that I wanted to mention was Miss Lou talked about this morning, Jace, her grandson. Jace, your grandson, he is on a mission trip in Haiti right now. They're down in Haiti, so she wanted us to be sure and remember him and pray for him. I'll pray for him in just a minute and their team as they're down in Haiti ministering to them. Here in just a minute, so she wanted me to share that with you guys as well as a congregation. Another thing we're going to do is some more decorations for the church. We're taking up, I should have done this before the offering, but I guess I waited too late. Poinsettias donation. We're doing poinsettias, so if you want to donate some money for poinsettias, we'd love to have several more put in here. You can do that, just kind of designate it on a check or whatever you want to do for poinsettias, so we're going to need some donations for that as well. Tonight is Divorce Care Surviving the Holidays. If you know somebody that's been through a divorce or maybe even a loss of a loved one, this is a good program for helping people go through that. There is child care provided for that, going from 4 to 6 tonight. And then after the first year, we'll be starting up the 13-week program of divorce care for people who have been through that situation. So don't forget about that. One other thing, I had a couple people ask me about getting the address for the Kirkpatrick's daughter. If you got a pen and paper handy, I'll just go ahead and give it to you. Is that okay? All right. Tell me when y'all ready.
Ready.
All right, good. Her name is Debbie Unruh, U-N-R-U-H, is how you spell her last name. And her address is 1432 South Ravenwood, R-A-V-E-N-W-O-O-D, Ravenwood Street, in Derby, D-E-R-B-Y, Derby, Kansas. And the zip code is 67037. So if you want to send her a note of 67037. So send her a note just saying how much we appreciate her mom and her dad and her, and just what a blessing they were to this church and still are a blessing to this church even after they've passed away and gone to be with Jesus. So if you want to send them a note, that is their address. So that's all the announcements I have for now.
We have one more. We got somebody in here that hadn't been here in a while because of us. I think a dog caused them not to come to church for a while.
Yeah. It's good to see Sherry and Steve in today. Amen.
Don't ever let a dog keep you from coming to church, guys.
Yeah, I told them, for those of you who don't know, dog ran out in front of me on the motorcycle and had a bad motorcycle spill. I told them, you know, there's easier ways to do animal control.